We welcome you to Bethel Baptist Church in the evening service. I hope you have an enjoyable day. We have a tremendous Sunday school class today in attendance and in learning. And then a gorgeous worship service in the afternoon classes has been full. And so we are thank to God for this. And also we welcome those who just turned the internet or turned the MP3 on so that they can record the service and listen later on. And so we are glad that we have a network of people listening and being part of ourselves. We always start the evening service with a song that I started in the seminary in 1973, 255. We always, in that church of the seminary in Oakland, California, we always start the evening service with this song, 255. And I was telling my wife after I did the research for the morning service how wonderful. I have great, great teachers in my seminary. A man of 78 years old, were pastors, and they were great and wonderful people who taught the Word of God well. Blessed Assurance, 255. Mighty Father and Holy Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, our Lord. After a day of worship and learning about you and how great you are, now, Father, we are happy that in thee we have a Savior who covered our sins, who put our sins away so we remember them no more. And you remember them no more. Thank you, Father. Now, Lord, as we praise your name, just give us joy to our heart. And as we learn again in these searching for ways of relationship according to the scripture, may today learn with clarity how much important is communication to us. And so, Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for giving us in the scripture everything we need in order to know you and in order to live for you. And Jesus, we thank you for what you're going to do with us through this service. Amen. All right, we select songs that comes into your mind and heart and want to be here in the thing. And so you let me know what song would you like it. Pastor Thomason.
132.
I have news for you. Jesus is coming again. Yes, I agree. All right. It's just so good. He leaves. All right, here it is.
I serve the greatest Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living. Well, death or death.
because you're a Christian. Let's sing number three. Stanza number three in 132.
Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King.
If we don't know the song, the one who requested has to direct it. Remember that small rule? 189. All right. In Jordan Stream. So, Tricia, you be alert on this one. Okay.
This is the first time.
Is good. Hey, that's good. That's good. All right. Number 189. We all try. Okay. Got it very well. All right. What is it? Señorita Rena.
39.
Let's see. All right. Here we are. Yeah, I like that. And you like this one that you always request. This is my Father's will. All right. I'm glad that you learned this from Jan. Okay.
Thank you.
el Señor crece.
261.
261? All right. Yourself, all right? Yes. 235. All right. Pass me not. Remember the passage in Luke where Nicodemus, Zacchaeus was on the tree and don't want to Jesus. He did not want Jesus to pass by without seeing him. And Jesus saw him. Pass me not. 235. Okay, another song that you like. Mary. 151. All right, here we are. And that's the song I have in mind when Greg selected 132. I thought it was Jesus coming again, and here it is. 151, Jesus is coming again. All right, here we are.
Thank you.
Can we know the day?
No.
Thank you. All right.
It'll be the last day.
Be the last day. Okay, thank you. The last day. That's good. We know the day, the last day. All right. Okay. There is no internet calling, and so we can choose. And last Sunday was all kinds of internet. All right. I guess Chelsea, you have one or 353. All right. Chelsea, 353. There was. I just tell you something. I looked at Chelsea, and they're 2-1, is that right? 2-1 with Chelsea. And there was a big sign in the bar there by the swimming pool in this resort. And the bar said, tonight, 3-5, 2-1. So I said, I know what that means, but I'm going to ask them. And I said, one of the waitresses, I said, what do you mean 2-1? So you pay for two and you drink one. That was their statement. But even though the law said that a baby in the womb is not a baby, if you kill by a car accident, for example, a lady who has a baby growing in her body, you are guilty of two minor law. So what a contradiction in our laws, no? In one sense, they recognize the person who killed a mother and a son or a daughter. And in the other sense said the women need to have liberties, see? And it's amazing how Satan blinds people. And you say 353, is that right? Okay. One time saw it and he can't believe it. When I come with the gray color car, there are two birds, I don't know the name, they're long legs and white and little brown. I fed them 2 or 3 times. I got cookies from the children box and I called them to the kitchen and they came in and I fed them. Now, it's time to see that car, they come. And so Raquel and I coming in for something on Saturday, I know for the flowers, and she hears. They said, what happened? And at the door, the mountain, I opened the door and get the food. And so you will see, I said, they get free food when they see this car. They were flying around. When they saw the car, the two came in. And Raquel, what surprise, you open the door and they come in. They want the food, you know, they are not afraid. So I give them the food and I guess they touch some of the pews. And Brother DeWheeler is very careful with the pews. He said, you know, some bears came here and I know why. He said, I know the one who is guilty, he told me. He said, there will be no birds in the other place. All right. Number 2 in 353. Thank you. many years. I'm going to set up the screen, and you have a copy, I guess, of the. Everybody have a copy? Okay, Brother Greg will help you to have a copy. We have started the studies. This is number four, so four Sundays ago, or four times ago, about this business of handling personal conflicts. Remember, and if you don't have a study 1, 2, 3, I do have it, and I'd be glad to share them with you. What we are doing in the evening is to learn that if you have a Bible, you do have the psychology information you need in order to make up whatever is lacking in your life. And the only thing is you need just to put it together and see how God counsels you. So I have taken clear topics of psychology from a clinical psychology office and see how the Bible counsels rather than psychology itself. All right? And I think this is number four. But remember that we study how do we react to conflict. That's number one. Actually, part of the lesson this morning in Sunday school, you have the old man, the natural man, remember, listed in verse 5 and in verse 7. And then you have the exhortation to behave like Christ. And so how do you react to conflict? Now, creative relationships. How some people say, I don't have a friend, so I cannot be a friend with my wife or with my husband. I mentioned to you in one of my comments last Sunday that people were attracted. Even I was looking with my wife to see what was the couple that stopped us as we were walking in a shopping mall and say, so you were too happy together. Well, you don't live 47 years if you're not happy together, all right? And you need to respect, to honor, to care for your wife as Christ cared for the church. I keep saying this, in 37 years of pastorship, I never have a lady coming to me and said, I'm going to divorce because my husband loved me too much. See? And that's the secret, husbands, of the security of your wife. It's not your gift, it's not this, it's just expressions, deep, convicting expressions of love and care. And women need to know that you really care. That's the key. And so, we study that. Managing your emotions. We all jump when something happens. And believe it or not, I do too. In my own way, Raquel knows me well, and she had to tell me very quietly, calm down, because you react to it, and we study that. Now, today, keeping the lines of communication open. See, there are people who tell me, I come to church, but I don't talk to that person anymore. No, in this church, thank God, because I wouldn't allow that. But there are people who said, well, I be with so-and-so. People working in Christian radio stations. So I'm here, but don't ask me to do a job with so-and-so because I talk to him or to her no more. Now, how do you keep the line of communications open? Okay, here is the thought for you. What is communication? Communication is the word that best describes the moment two people touch each other with real understanding. This is not mine. This is from Walter Cronkite. I was trained in radio, and when I got my job in 73, by Walter Cronkite, had to talk in a dialogue. You are in an empty studio, you put a table and an empty chair in the other side, and you explain what you want to say to the people. You explain that to that chair. And he wrote these words in one of my books. He said, communication is the word that best describes the moment two people touch each other with real understanding. And so you need to understand the other person. If you're talking to a person of another race, you need to understand how the person of another race will react and what that means in their own race, what the person said. All right? And so on. Was it very interesting in our vacation having people together from Poland, from Belgium, and from France, and from Italy. And we all want to play ball. And I was the only one talking on the pool. And you can see the French were very quiet. They're very soft, very quiet. And the Belgian were more. They were wearing one side. I had to say, you get in. Well, we maybe don't know this. You get in. I tell you, get in. Oh, okay. You know, I said, we are not here to win. I know who's going to win. It's me. But we don't care. I said, we just have fun. And they really enjoy it. And I was watching. I was, again, refreshing in my mind how people react. The Italians were very eager. They're willing to kill you for that ball in the air and so on. And I said, guys, we are here. It was one lady was very fragile, but she wanted to play. I said, come on, we are here not to. Who cares who wins? It's just throw the ball and get the sunshine and enjoy. And so this is what the word is. You have to get the understanding of the other people. You need to understand what the other person said. You will see it through the study. Now, what the psychology said about the process of communication. Psychology called communication two words. One is leveling, and the other is listening. The lesson is short, but I want you to learn it. It's very easy. Leveling, and I'm going to explain each word, and listening. This is, communication has two arms, we say in psychology. One is leveling and listening. So as a psychologist, listen to the patient. He wants to know what is the problem in leveling and listening to this patient, and what is the problem of leveling and listening to the other patient. All right? Let's get to leveling. All right? Here with this. What do we mean by leveling? Okay, leveling, it is letting your message have a single meaning. You cannot talk with double meaning. All right? So let's look. The first meaning of your communication need to be truth. And let's look to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 6. So leavening is your message have a single meaning. You cannot have a double talk. Whatever you said is what you mean. All right? Especially this is very good for parents. When you say to your children, no, that means no. Well, the children, you know, will insist. And well, let them go. My father was like this. If I talk to my father or I talk to grandma, she would say, well, look at the little boy. My mom said, I say no. Then I knew that when my mother say no, that means no. All right? When my father say no, means nothing. When my grandma say no, means nothing. The children learn from the children. So look at what Paul says. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. For though I... my desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. Got that word? I will speak aletheia. That's the word. I will speak the truth. But I refrain lest anyone should think of me about what he sees me to be or hears from me. In other words, when I speak to you, Corinthians, I speak you the truth. This was the only church that questioned Paul's discipleship. Remember, they said you never saw the Lord. You are too ugly because you are short and you don't have a presence as a speaker. All the complaints were done on Paul. And so Paul defend himself not by saying that he's a good-looking man or he's a spectacular. He said, I speak the truth. That's single meaning. Is that right? That's single meaning. I speak the truth. That's single meaning. Now, I want you to move your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. After the Bible give us a clear explanation of what the gift of God are given to in what measure to apostles and all of these. And now the Bible explains how to use it. And look at in verse 15 what the Bible says. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is his head, Christ. In other words, we need to have in our manners of conversation, in our dialogue, a point that people know that when we speak, it is the truth. That's a single meaning. All right? We just said the truth. And we evaluate the situation and we tell it like it is in the way that we think it is. Maybe we say in psychology it's not the value of truth. Value of truth means maybe it's the truth for you, but not the truth for somebody else if you are doing an evaluation. But if you are saying something from your heart to tell somebody, for example, a professor in the university, he writes 2 + 2 = 4. He just tells the truth. All right? That's a truth that cannot be changed. All right? And so you need to understand when you are really communicating that you talk the truth as you see it and as you believe it. I have read in the vacation 3 books, and one I read it twice. That was on Obama's own record of what he said he understand about America. And I get there early in the morning, left the books in my chair so that I can get the best chairs and the best location, went to breakfast, come back, and people saw the book. And they tell me, what do you think about Obama? So far as I read, let me review the passage that I underline, and you will see what he says by himself. In other words, I want to be as truthful. I'm speaking about somebody else that I never met, and I want to be as truthful as I can. So I read what the man said. And so I said, you understand that he's a white, black American, so you need to understand it from their position, how they understand America. And I remember on the third page, he said, America has usurped the authority of human beings. And the Constitution of the United States is the worst constitution ever you see in. And if you follow his reasoning, he's not too bad. He said, the Constitution said, he's telling the truth, all men are equal before God. But the blacks were not accepted until year so and so. So for 100 years, until the year 1850, the blacks were not considered slaves. And so therefore, you can see what they wrote in the Constitution doesn't mean they should say all white men are equal before God. Then he goes farther and said, now look at what the Constitution did to the women. They have to vote, and the women cannot vote until 1960. And so the Constitution said all male white are equal before God, but not the women. In other words, he really is a thinking, and he was telling the truth, one single mind truth. All right, and some of the Americans and Canadians were shocked, but they cannot say it. They cannot argue with that argument. That was solid. So when you speak, you see, you have to talk the truth. Now also, you have to tell the real meaning. You remember how the Pharisees went after Jesus? Look with me in John Gospel chapter 8. And sometimes when you tell the real meaning to people, it's rough. It's rough. Because nobody wants to be put a mirror in front of you. All right? Truth, that's what truth does. Put a mirror before you and show who you really are. And so you speak the truth, but you tell the real meaning of the evaluation of the situation. Look at in John Gospel 8:44. These Pharisees are really after Jesus over and over and over again. And look at finally Jesus says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So he told the Pharisees, you are a liar. Can you see yourself? Here's the mirror. Can you see yourself? Because your father is the devil. And if you belong to the devil, you are a liar. That's a single meaning. Is that right? You're going to miss it. It's a single meaning. This is what you are. You know, if you go and witness to people and you say to people, the reason why I witness to you is because you are lost, they get really mad. Very few people will say lost from what? But they will get upset. No, sir, I'm a good man. Oh, sir, I'm doing this. Oh, I provide for my family. Oh, I never kill anybody. I never did this and never did the other. One man told me I never have a ticket from the police. Like that was a merit to get to heaven. All right, that's very good. He had no ticket. Maybe nobody caught him. But or he gives some money to the police or whatever. I tell you, these are no values. The values here is that leveling is when you listen to somebody, say, is that person speaking the truth? And is speaking the truth to me? Now, this is very good between husband and wife. My wife specializes in this. She will tell you like it is right in front of your eyes, whether you like it or not, and then you listen with your open eyes to see if that's true or not. And that will avoid further problems anywhere. See? And so that's keeping the lines of communication open. Nobody gets offended when you tell the truth. Oh, they get a little defensive, they get a little kicky, but you know, they know you know them. And you tell them like it is. And believe me, it's going to work a mile for you. So now, remember, when I want to talk to somebody about something, be sure you got the truth about it. You have researched all the situation. You have all the information that provides for you. This is the case, and I'm going to tell it like it is. When you go to court, it's funny. They use words in different ways and in different form, you know. And they use double meanings and things like that. There's no justice anywhere. But I tell you, when you want to be like Christ and behave like him, you speak the truth in a kind manner, but then you move ahead and do this, all right? You give the real meaning of what you really means to the person so that he or she understand in their own background. Because different things means different things for people, all right? If you are a Chinese background, when you say something to a Chinese or to a Korean, it means different things because of their background. So you have to study carefully, how do I say this to this person in their background, but I'm telling the truth. That's very, very important. Now we go to the second point, which is listening. All right? Listening. I have two scriptures for you, and listening, which enhance your exhortation. And one is way back in the book of James, in chapter 1 and verse 19. So remember, we want to keep the lines of communication open. First thing, I want to speak the truth. That's leveling. And I'm going to speak with sincerity, you will say in English. And I want to speak according to the background of that person, so that person will understand me. All right? I watched from the sideway in the pool playing, and there were some Americans, some Mexicans, and some Canadians and so on. And the Canadians are very gentlemen. They're very British. And one of the Canadians said, look at this Americano Bruto. He wants to cross like this. And see, they are blind, the Americans. And we have the right. We do this and do the other. But you're in a sport place where it's people from everywhere, and you have to be very gentle. But they are not. They're not. It was the same thing with their swimming. They swim, and if you are there, they hit you. And I laugh about it. I said, well, that's the way they are. I said, it's going to come down when Obama becomes president. Don't worry about it. You know, and they laugh about it. But it's that's the way they are. And you live, how can you live in a country like this, said the Canadians. And I said, you know, you get to understand it. They are very lovely people. They are wonderful. They are beyond your mind how much they love to help people. But this is the way they are. How they get to the nation? And they say fighting. Well, what do you think they keep the nation? They keep fighting. And so America never will be without war because that's how they came to here. Psychology said how you started is how you develop. And so America will never be without war because they started with words. See? So I said, relax. And they said, well, you know, that makes sense. I have taught to Canadian in their own understanding. See? That if you say the truth in your own American understanding, they will never understand you. All right? It's just amazing. So remember, leveling, speaking the truth, I'm going to make all the efforts so that this person understand what I said. All right? Now, number two, listening. James chapter 1, verse 19, very well-known passage. The Bible says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. What that means, swift to hear. Salvador, if you hear, you have a Spanish or English Bible there? Non-Bible? Ooh, Salvador, you got, this man cannot eat for 2 days. All right. All right, swift to hear. What that means, swift to hear? Brother, go ahead.
Quick to hear.
Listen first. I like that. Listen first. No wonder he has beer. See, wisdom. Listen first. Okay? You got it? Listen first. That's not what we do. Is that right? Somebody talk on anything, we just want to jump on it. Is that right? And the scripture said, listen first. See here? Quick to hear. Swift to hear. A slow to speak. Means slow down. It's a lot too rough. In other words, you know, people said God give you 2 ears and 1 mouth, so use the equation of your makeup. If God give you 2 ears, so use twice the time to hear against once the time to speak. That would be, you know, A plus B squared equal communication. You see what I mean? But we don't do that. Our reaction, our movement, our natural behavior is against God's design. Who caused that? Sin. The damage of sin is not theological, it's sociological also. And physiological and psychological. That's the damage of sin. Now let's go to the other scripture, Acts chapter 13:44. In Acts chapter 13 and in verse 44, look what the Bible says. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. That was a single communication from the apostles. Is that right? They were not there to tell how bad was Judaism. They were not there to tell how bad is the Roman political domination. They were not there. They communicated very well. Is that right? They really communicate. I read that verse and I said, boy, oh boy, mamma mia. They really understood what the apostle, you know, this is chapter 13. The apostle just started. At the very beginning, he goes to the city hall and he witnessed to the mayor, and the mayor became a believer, remember? And then Mark escaped from him. And then he has opposition everywhere. But he only did one thing. He shared the word of God. What is the proof? Verse 44. On the Sabbath, almost the whole city came together, not to hear Paul, but to hear the word of God. You know, my dream is that when people come to this church, whether it's Sunday school, morning service, afternoon classes, evening service, they come here with only one purpose. What is it? To hear the word. So we go to Bethel to hear the word. A lot of people tell me, I go to this church because of the programs. Other people called and said, how many programs do your church have? 5. Which are the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. 5 programs. So what do you mean? Oh, we have Sunday school class with the Word. We have morning service with the Word. Afternoon classes with the Word. And then evening service with the Word. Is that the only thing you do? That's the only single thing we do. We're single-minded. Paul said in Philippians 3:13, I just single-minded. One thing I do. I have it here. This is no propaganda. This is a report from the city. It's impressive. They came together to hear the word. Now, I just mentioned my conclusion. Philippians 3 and verse 13. He told the people what things he does. So, brethren, he says in Philippians 3:13, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. How many things he does? One thing I do. Pastor Thomason, when you get the helmet, do only one thing. Study the word and preach the word. Sunday school teacher, study the word and teach the word. God's going to bring the people. If you teach the word, God's going to bring the people. And that's the power of communication that is missing. We say three or four things at the same time. We have to say only one thing. One thing I do, one thing I do. What a wife does, she take care of the husband. It's like a baby. A husband is like a baby. So you take care of your husband. What a husband does, he take care of his wife. One thing I do, I take care of my wife. That's your life job. All right? So that's what the apostle said. I wish you were like me. But if you are married, you have to please your wife and see that everything is provided for her. All right? When you're single, it's an entire different thing. You just please the Lord. And so it's not so hard to learn communication. It's not that so-and-so don't understand me and so on. It's because we do not communicate right. Remember, leveling and listening. Leveling, I want to tell the truth. I want to be single-minded as I speak, and I want to speak clearly. Listening, I'm going to really listen, and I'm going to ask questions. So will you say it again, or will you say it in another way? Will you put it in another way? Will you help me to understand it? You ask all the questions possible, and then at the end, you collect all this information, and then you say to yourself, this is what this person said. By the way, that's what a judge does. And when he don't understand a case, I have been three times in the court, he called a psychologist and said, will you read all these scripts and tell me what are they saying? I have been in Santa Clara County three times. They pay you very good for doing that. Then you write the report and say, this person is saying this, this person is saying this, and this person is saying this. Then he is able to make a judgment. And so we should be like that. You think that when Jesus spoke, people misunderstood him? He was very simple. And he was very tried to the money. Remember when he told one time to the Pharisees, generations of vipers, and so on. And so, my friend, let us have that in our private life, everything. Let's have that singleness of mind as we communicate the truth. And then let us listen carefully to one another, and there will be no mistake. I have no doubt that many people thought our church will split in three parts when we started construction, because that's what happened to churches. I know a church that is split badly in Los Angeles, a large church, 650 people, is split really badly because they fought about the speakers. The speakers, I mean, believers. They took a vote, and they're going to get these speakers, and they get another because they were better. And the church is split. So what was the problem? The problem was lack of communication. Somebody failed. So I said to myself, if we can communicate, have two committees, one for the money and one for the construction, and I can step out and watch it from the outside, then we will see how people communicate to one another. And things are doing well. Rather than losing people, we are gaining people. Because we are truthful. I told Greg, just tell it like it is. Whether we like it or not, this is cost so much, and this is what we can build. Whether you like it or not, when you hear the truth, you may be rumbled, but you like it. Because it's the truth. May God help us to keep on and practice this. It's not too difficult. Practice this so you become rich in your life and respected among others. Thank you, Father, for the lesson on communication. Thank you for the lesson that Christ brings to our life in the way that he talked, in the way that he communicated. Help us to speak the truth in love, and help us to enrich the heart of God's people. Help us to be people who talk to each other and we don't have to guess what the person really said. Help in our own homes, in our own families, in our own relationship, in the privacy of our home, to be people like that, who speak the truth and listen carefully. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Look forward to see you on Wednesday night. And for those who are on the air, God bless you and have a beautiful night.